Blog Talk Radio.
Exploration. Love. Healing. Magic. You've entered a very special place where anything can happen. Stay inside your ride, but be prepared to expand your consciousness. Welcome to the Psychic Funhouse.
All right. Hello, everybody, on a lovely Friday evening. Welcome back to one of the most premier podcasts on psychic phenomenon and all things related, the Psychic Funhouse. We're happy to have you aboard. My name is Lawrence Birch. I'll be your co-host, along with my other lovely co-host, the amazing psychic to the stars, Mr. Michael J. Espinoza. Hello, Michael. How are you?
Hello, Lawrence. Good. How are you? Thank you, everybody. Yeah. What's going on?
Well, we've got a special guest tonight who I'm going to introduce shortly.
We do.
But tonight's show, you remember. We are doing a show, since it's really close to Valentine's Day. The show is going to be on the theme of relationships and love and communication, all good stuff. But I thought I would check in with you first and find if there are any announcements that are pressing before we get on with the show. Do you have any classes you're offering or events you're a part of? Anything that the listeners would like to know more about?
Sure. I have classes on Monday evenings from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time through the Heart Space. It's not a corporation. It's a business, and it's a it used to be called the School of Multidimensional Healing. So they have healers and readers there, and I am co-teaching a class with Frank Falcon, who's been one of our readers that's been on the show. And so we teach it every Monday. It's a psychic tarot from 7 to 9. You can come in person or you can attend virtually. So to attend virtually, you can go to, and in person, you can go to heartspaceoc.com. and register for the class. And I was speaking with programming, and they said they're still in works for next week's show.
Okay.
That's all I have
right
now. Yeah. How about you? What's going on?
Well, yeah. So are the classes are ongoing? Are they going to last for a period of time, or you can just take one and done, or you have to sign up for a bunch, or how's that?
No, it's ongoing, so it'll be for a while. Yep.
Okay.
So you can join anytime you want. Thank you.
I remember he's been on the show multiple times. He's actually has the dubious distinction of being our first guest. So he's a wonderful tarot reader. And Michael, you're going to learn so much, your head will explode. I can only imagine. So very fun. I'm actually down in the OC myself right now, and I'm going to be seeing some clients doing some readings and healings in person, which is exciting after really a 2-year absence from the area. I'm thrilled to be back. I'm going to do some herbal exploring with a friend of mine who's a fellow herbalist later on in my stay at some natural areas, and hopefully do some artwork with another friend of mine. So all sorts of good stuff. But right now, I am thrilled to actually be in the physical company of tonight's guest. Tonight's guest is a wonderful person named Gretchen Crilly McKay, and she has quite a pedigree. Just got a little bit of it here to let you know about if you haven't seen tonight's information in our episode listing. She completed a training in Africa, in Swaziland, in 2001 with a Ngoma under the mentorship of her teacher, a Zulu shaman named P.H. Mashali. Thank you. And so she came back and created her own private shamanic healing practice. She sees clients and does trainings, and she also works with people that need her guidance. She's working with everybody from beginning to advanced students, and she has quite a bit of experience under her belt, and is just an all-around really wonderful person, and we're thrilled to have her back on the show to help us focus on relationships tonight. So welcome, Gretchen, with that amazing introduction.
Welcome, Gretchen. Nice to have you back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah. We're excited. Yeah. So how are you, Gretchen?
I was just telling Lawrence it was a challenging day. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting when we talk about relationships. Relationships are all around us. Sometimes when I hear that term, I think just of partners or maybe family. But relationships are, like I had a not-so-good day with one of my, I volunteer at tide pools, and I had a visitor who was not particularly enjoyable, and this altercation, and I've been thinking about it ever since, and Lawrence and I were talking about it, and those relationships challenge us. Sometimes we get to learn about how we wish we could have perhaps set our boundaries with a little more grace. So everything is relationships, right? Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was my day. It was a very interesting day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, I think it's particularly challenging right now. You know, everybody seems kind of on edge with the COVID deal, and you know, the economy's been kind of topsy-turvy. And now we get to think about relationships during this month, among other things. It's, you know, it's Black History Month. There's just a lot packed into, you know, the shortest month in our calendar. So when we think about relationships, sometimes, you know, especially today, it's easy to think about what maybe could improve. It's also good to remember what's actually going well, so we don't lose sight of that, you know. Maybe you, you know, if you're listening, you've had some success in dealing with your relationship with yourself, you know, because that's where everything originates. That's been my big take-home lesson over the pandemic, was working on mentoring, you know, all the baggage I bring to relationships and how much I love myself and how much I'm willing to let go of things that aren't serving me. So lots of different meanings behind, you know, relationship and communications and love and all that. But certainly the romantic part is probably a common issue that gets brought to Michael and myself in terms of, you know, our healing or psychic abilities, mm-hmm. something that we can, you know,
yeah.
help people get insights with, because it's important. You know, people are concerned about their loved one and they want to know what they're thinking of when they think about them, or if they're even thinking of them, you know, those sorts of things. So, yeah, how about you, Michael? You want to chime in with anything that the term relationship brings up for you in terms of your professional practice or personal life or Valentine's Day? I sent you a really nice chocolate man. I don't know if you got him or not.
You did. You sent me a photo. Thank you so much for that.
Oh, that was... Well, next time.
Yeah. you know, I think with relationships, I think for me what I'm discovering is it seems like this is an area where we grow the most. And I think all of the relationships we have in our life, especially the challenging ones, are the big lessons especially with family. You know, that sometimes those are really challenging relationships with those that are we're closest to. So, and it's important, I think, to, you know, one of the things that's coming across in a lot of my readings and the healings that I'm doing with clients is, you know, that we don't go into victim mode. And because if we do go into victim mode and, you know, why is this happening to me? This is terrible. You know, we're not going to learn anything. We're going to stay stuck, right? And if we allow ourselves to take a step back, yeah, they're challenging. It's tough. It hurts. It's, you know, whatever negative emotions come up, if we accept the challenge and say, okay, what is my lesson with this person and this relationship? And once we step back and ask ourselves that, then we're willing to allow change to come forward and to come through. And but if we want to stay stuck in being a victim, well, if you don't learn the lesson from that person, congratulations, it will come in the next relationship, in another relationship. So,
So true.
But it makes me, when you were talking, Michael, it makes me think about, like you guys are saying, so many clients come in and want to know what's wrong with the other person, how can they be fixed. And I always say it's, you can't change anyone else. The only one you can change is yourself.
Right.
And so, Michael, it's not about poor, pitiful me. Chances are the other person is not doing anything. It has nothing to do about you. Nine times out of ten, it's about themselves. And, you know, it's really exciting when you see somebody actually get that and do the work. And and then their relationship change. How often does somebody, my own daughter did that recently, said, gee, I took your advice and I changed. I know, her therapist had told her that too. I changed how I was dealing with things with my boyfriend. And you know what? He came over. He started to come over more. Hello. So it is always about us.
Yeah, I think we're mirrors for each other in relationships, and you know, it's not an accident to the people that we choose to be intimate with, not just random circumstance. I'm sure on some level it's been planned before, but it may feel spontaneous, and that's good. You want that kind of energy, especially in the beginning of the relationship when you're, you know, sizing each other up and figuring out, you know, what level of intimacy and vulnerability and trust you're willing to offer this person that's in your life. But then, you know, the honeymoon phase goes away if you stay in a relationship long enough, and then you're left with, you know, the reality, the masks come off, the claws come on, you know, the skeletons start coming out of the closet. And then it's like, well, how much do I really care about this person? Do I just want to be with them for the good stuff that really got me hooked? Or do I want to be a part of the relationship that also is going to be about the work, you know, and about figuring out the depth of commitment I have. And not everybody's ready for that, and that's okay. I think that's, you know, that's fine if you realize you signed up for something that was a little bit more than you bargained for in the beginning. And, you know, you can be compassionate in ending your relationship. You don't have to ghost people, although that's been the popular thing, you know, for a while, thanks to, you know, the technology we have at our fingertips allows us to be anonymous and do disappearing acts. I wish you were here, Michael. You could see Bentley, Gretchen's cat. He's getting very comfortable listening to us yammer. He's in his box.
Nice. Really hi, Bentley.
Yeah. Hey, Michael says hi, Bentley. I don't know if you'd like his new companion or not. He's not feline, he's canine, but he's a pretty nice boy. Anyway,
our four-legged ones are great companions, and they don't argue with us.
That's right. they may not behave as well as we'd like, but at least they don't talk back and, you know, speak. They haven't figured that out yet. Sure, that's coming, but yeah. Yeah, so relationships. Relationships are everything, you know. Even if we're by ourselves, we still are having relationships with ourselves or, you know, with our surroundings. And, you know, one the other thing I think I was going to bring up tonight, talk about a little bit, was just this idea of what it means to really feel love.
Mm-hmm.
Not just to be in love, but to really feel what love is. And I had... had the opportunity to go over to the coast near where I live up north in the Pacific Northwest. And I had an intentional experience over there. I won't go into all the details about it. But at the end of my process, I was left with this deeper understanding and acceptance both of myself and also of just my place in the universe. And part of what really helped me get seated in that, other than the processing that I was doing to get to that point, was just having this overwhelming feeling of love by the universe come into my being. You know, it's one thing to have a mental or psychological or whatever you want to call it, sense of what love is or an understanding of that. It's another thing when your understanding, your belief system becomes embodied in you and it resonates. You know, I get kind of chills just talking about it because it was that powerful. It was that kind of all-encompassing hug that the universe gives you when you're ready to receive it. That's just a reminder that this isn't something that just happens, you know, when you think about it or when you need it or when you call on it. You're always being loved by the universe. And that's true for everything the universe sends you, even if it feels like it's the opposite. It's the universe, you know, sometimes testing you. Do you really care enough about this to really push back? Or how much do you really want this to manifest in your life? Or, you know, this lesson is also going to be about, you know, experiencing pain, but it doesn't have to be about suffering unless that's your choice, you know. All that can be, you know, what we call sometimes tough love, not the, you know, the warm, fuzzy love that is the easy part, but the love that actually puts us through something and teaches us something and challenges us to grow. You know, and you don't grow without pain. I mean, listen to the trees grow. They're always stretching. And so I'm like, oh, my gosh, can I make this leaf come out of this bud? Ah! You know, and it happens. But it's not without a lot of complex processes that, you know, sometimes you understand, sometimes you just have to accept. But nonetheless, it's really powerful.
Yeah. Your example makes me think I need to be out in nature, and that's what I will always, that's one of my homework pieces for clients all the time. Because when you're in nature, in a place that you love, whether it's a forest or my place is the ocean, I go to the ocean and things get clearer. There is literally an energy that you can connect to in a wild place that soothes your soul, that helps you remember who you are, puts things into alignment, brings up grief sometimes, emotions that we tamp down. It can be easy to ignore those, you know, I don't have time. I think probably Michael, you and Lawrence and I, nature is where we go most often. I mean, that's how can I get myself out there? But not everyone does. And so I tell people all the time, this is where you're going to find out who you really are. Meet yourself.
Ooh, meet yourself. Wow. So when you meet yourself, do you like give yourself a hug or a handshake, or
sometimes
you have to wear masks now? So
sometimes I just socially distance, you know?
I'm meeting you, but I'm not getting too close to you right now. You pissed me off.
But isn't that true? We all have those moments. Like, I have I love my Virgo moon. However, my Virgo moon is very critical.
Hey. Don't be mean about Virgos.
I love Virgos.
Okay, that's okay.
I carry that energy,
but
I will get this critical tool. And I think
that's what we're here for.
Yeah, I know, right? And that's and I have to forgive myself sometimes. Right?
There's a word. Ooch.
Yeah. Because I can, it's not coming at me from anyone else. The thought comes in. I didn't plan it. It comes in, and I'm unhappy. I'm uncomfortable with that thought. And, you know, that practice of Ho'oponopono, you know, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, and thank you. It's sometimes I have to do that with myself because I can feel this critical piece. And that comes from the universe, too. So it's another part of the lesson.
Yeah. I'm reminded, Michael, you know, we talked earlier this week about, you know, the work that you're doing with clients. I don't know if you want to bring this up or not, but it seems like it might be appropriate. There's a client you had who was having some challenges, and you were able to just kind of, well, what I thought really was what you demonstrated to them was, first of all, respect for yourself and your craft, but also out of that, really a love of yourself because of your, just the way that you dealt with your client in a way that was, you know, firm but gracious, and then how they responded to that. Do you want to talk about that or not? You don't have to. I just am reminded of it. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, you were sharing with me earlier. Sure. Are you there, Michael?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Oh,
Michael.
I thought you were talking to Gretchen.
No.
No, I'm sorry. Should have been more clear.
I'm sorry.
No.
I was waiting for Gretchen to answer.
Dealer.
What were we talking about? I don't remember.
Well, you have to say, let's call it a challenging client. We talked about it. Do you remember that discussion? Do you want me to give you more hints? I'm trying to be circumspect so I don't reveal too much, especially if you don't want to talk about
okay.
it.
Okay, I think, yeah, the one that I just had recently. Uh-huh.
Yes.
And what about the client?
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about the conversation? I don't...
Oh, well, just, you know, the client, what I remember you saying is, you know, the client you had... came on with you and you're ready to do the reading, and they were very insistent about no, and you had to, you know, kind of give them some pushback, kind of check them a little bit because they misunderstood what you were there to provide, right? And
right.
They
yeah,
had,
okay. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean,
Well, it's right. So that was interesting. And I think, you know, sometimes people lose sight of when they're dealing with us and kind of think of us as vending machines a little bit. And when in the way that we dispense information to them. And, yeah, I had, you know, we all have a process that we go through, and everybody's process is different. And this one client was insistent that I stay on track on what she wanted answered and how I was delivering that. And I just had to remind her, it's like, you know, and I told this person, I'm not a vending machine. I'm a person. I'm a human. And I'm dealing with subtle energies here. You know, I'm not looking in somebody's answer box and, you know, I can't just pull this stuff out of thin air. I have to receive this information. No, I can't. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
And so anyway, it was a process. And after a while, they got it. So it was fine. After.
I think that's emblematic of you know, how relationships go, whether it's, you know, a client and a reader in this case, or anybody that you're involved with. You know, you've got somebody who comes in with an agenda, and that can be okay, You know, they have a vision of what they want, whether it's from a service or, you know, from their partner. And then the partner has to decide, can I provide that or not? And if I'm not willing to, for whatever reason, how do I communicate that in a way that they're, one, going to hear it, and two, not going to, you know, turn it into something that now we have to discuss besides why I can't do what you want, right? And then it becomes a hairball that you can't get out of your throat. So communication is everything. And I brought that up in part because I thought you handled it expertly, Michael, the way that you were, you know, able to set your boundaries to the client professionally, but still show them compassion and give them the choice back, right? Hey, do you want to continue with this reading? Maybe we're not compatible for whatever reason, you know, and that's their clue to pick up on, alter my behavior in some way, right? And then it's in their court and they can't do the victim stuff like we talked about, because you're empowering them to say, oh, you know what? I don't like you, or yeah, this isn't going to work, or the energy's not right, which is fine. That's happened.
Sure.
But, you know, you know that in the beginning, right? So,
right. You know. Yeah. And it's, I think sometime, you know, I haven't, and I'm sure you guys, this is true for both of you, but it's, you know, I haven't really had a bad client per se. I just think sometimes they're stuck in a place and they just need answers, right? And so if they forget, it's kind of like, okay, take a deep breath and I'm going to help you the best I can. And so relax and let's try to do this together. And And I think sometimes I just forget that, and it's just like, yeah, give me the answer. I got to get out of this situation. I'm stuck.
Yeah.
I can only think of one client in the last 25 years that challenged me. I mean, as soon as I started to read for her, everything was wrong. Well, no, that's not true. And I could look at – I throw the bones. I throw objects. So I'm looking at the patterns, and I'm thinking, no, I see what I see. But she was so – there was a confrontational piece. And finally, I just stopped, and I looked at her, and I said, you know, I'm not a fortune teller. I don't think we're a good fit. I don't seem to be – you know, meeting your expectations. And she'd driven a long way to come see me. And I said, there's no charge. There's certainly no charge. I wasn't your person. And, you know, finally, when I didn't charge her, then she backed off and was nicer. But, I mean, we didn't – there are situations, there are relationships that just don't fit. And that's okay. So
right.
Which is, I think, Michael, what you did too, right? There's boundaries. We all have to have some boundaries.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I think, and I think you're right too, when not all relationships are, we're not going to fit with everybody, right? And we all have different personalities and some work and some don't. And I think that works with readers and the sitters.
Absolutely. I mean, we do that with doctors, right? We go to a doctor and it doesn't feel right and we find someone else. And, yeah, I think readers, it's important to feel an alignment with someone you're asking to help you, asking advice for. And that isn't everyone.
Yeah, and I think that alignment, you know, in all your relationships would be ideal, but there's times when you know, you have to kind of work through that, even with a loved one, you know, when there are decisions that you need to make together and try to be on the same page, but you can't be. I was, you know, on my way down here, I had the good fortune to stay overnight with some friends of mine I haven't seen since before COVID, and I just got to watch their relationship dynamic and how caring they were towards each other, and I thought that was really wonderful because they had to kind of flip roles. You know, one of them is they've kind of got some assigned tasks for how they do household stuff, but it was one of the couple's birthday, and they were going to go over the coast, but the other one had to work. So the birthday girl took on the laundry duties, even though she's not the one who usually does that. And they just communicated about it really well. I thought it was just like, hey, do you want to do this? No, but I'm going to, da-da-da-da. You know, and it's mundane, but even in the mundane details, you get to see, you know, when you're privy to them, how people problem solve and how they do it either in a way that, you know, is giving agency to the other person, showing compassion to the other person, acknowledging the other person and giving them an opportunity to have input and feedback instead of what I think can happen in relationships that I see a lot as a pitfall is one person either doesn't know how to do that or they're learning or they feel the need to make a unilateral decision. I know I've been guilty of that in my past relationships, not, you know, either out of fear sometimes of what the other person's going to say or just a feeling like it'd just be easier if I do this and make a decision for both of us. And then that can really blow up in your face when your partner comes back to you and says, hey, you didn't even consult me about this. I don't feel like you care about me when you do things like that unilaterally. We really need to change this dynamic. And hearing that could be really intense, you know, especially if you didn't see it coming. If you're able to really sit with it, it can be a powerful shifting in the dynamic, your relationship towards something that's more equitable and can be the start of a better communication process too, hopefully.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think we're going to go to our callers here, and Michael and I are going to offer some readings for some lovely listeners. But before we do that, let's just check in with contact information in case people want to engage any of our services outside of the podcast world. We'll give you some contact info so you're able to do that or find out more about what we do, classes and things. So Gretchen, as our guest, I'm going to let you go first. How can people get in touch with you or readings or healings or find out more about the wonderful things you offer?
So my website is ancestralwisdom.com. That's ancestralwisdom.com. And it'll tell you all about my practice. My email is on there. My my phone number, I think, so that's probably the best. Because the work I do is a little bit different. Then it's hard to explain throwing objects and bones. Thank
you. You don't throw them at people.
Okay. I don't throw them at people, not unless they're obnoxious.
Oh, okay.
Then I could throw things across the room. But So.
Well, why don't you tell a little bit about that? Yeah, even if it's hard to explain, it's divination, right?
It's divination. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the process of what we call these comes from Southern Africa, and you know, basically it's like any divination system, except I have objects which are shells. There are some bones that were gifted to me along the way during rituals and ceremonies. I went through a traditional initiation in South Africa or in Swaziland, and that meant I lived with my mentor for 3 months and, you know, lots of rituals, lots of clearing, the whole point, what I realize now, was to get in touch with my ancestors. I'd always connected to Africa. I am a very white little woman, you know, but I'd never connected to my own ancestors. And what I discovered was that my ancestors sent me 10,000 miles away to connect with my lineage, as well as the African system, because we've been many things, right? So Africa is in my bones, whether I was born there or not. So that was, and then I'd already been studying shamanism here in the States for many years. So my practice is a combination. It's not just an African system. It's a combination of more core shamanism that comes out of the Foundation for Shamanic Studies and Sandra Ingerman, along with Africa.
Hmm. Pretty powerful. I've had had a divination from Gretchen before, and out of it came a really amazing seaside, as it turned out, ritual mm-hmm. that was incredibly healing. So she is not kidding when she really throws the bones. They really reveal everything. So really powerful. I couldn't encourage people more to yeah. check her out and find out more about her work and maybe schedule a reading with her. So ancestralwisdom.com.
Thank you.
Yeah, Michael, how can people get in touch with you for some of the wonderful work you do, mediumship and chronic healing and all that?
Yes, you can go to my website, michaeljespinoza.com, and you can schedule a pranic healing, a clairvoyant reading, or a mediumship reading there with me. How about you, Lawrence? How can people get in touch with you?
And you still have openings even with your busy Hollywood star schedule. That's great. I'm happy to hear that.
They're A-listers very limited, plain. But yes.
Yeah.
The A-listers take up all the space, but or the majority of the time slot. Yep. So I'm open. I'm still open. Thank God. How about you, Lawrence?
Can you put
How
in
do
a good
people get in touch with you? Huh?
Can you put in a good
what?
Kim? Can you put in a good word with Kim K for me? I'm trying to get my script published. I want to make.
Well, I can't divulge any of my clients. Sorry, it's all confidential.
Oh, okay. I didn't mean it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
If you've seen the best, Gretchen and Michael, and you'd like to try the rest, then you can come and find me at 541-753-4. Somebody's got to, pick up all the, everybody else that can't afford your services now that you've raised your rates, Michael. That's my number to call or to text West Coast time. And you can also email me at givingtree@earthlink.net. My website is givingtreefarm.com. I have a Facebook page, Giving Tree Farm Herbs, talks about my clinical herbalism. And now I have an Instagram page for my art, Lawrence A. Birch, on Instagram. So,
and let me just say, his remedies and tinctures, his medicine making is amazing.
Let me get my $20 out now before I forget. Okay.
I count on Lawrence to help me stay healthy.
Yeah. Well,
I
good.
Concur.
Yeah.
I've had some of his good. Tinctures, and they help me sleep. So thank you, Lawrence. They don't taste very good, but that's okay. I think you did
taste,
that on purpose, though, right?
Well, I don't want you to get, habituated to them, and then you'll be demanding them every time I show up. You're like, where's my tincture? Medicine. Not
yeah,
for
if you can work on the taste, I would appreciate that.
All right. Well, I'll put some extra flavor shots in there for your next.
Put
batch.
A little licorice.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, or like birthday cake flavor, or chocolate, or something like that. Something tasty.
What do you? A dispensary? Come on, let's get real now. You're gonna have to add that to your own. Stuff. I don't know. That's above my pay grade. Sorry. But it would be kind of fun. We'll see. We'll see what I can do. Birthday cake flavor. Anyway, so I think we're ready to go to the calls. You ready, Michael? Take a caller or two? What do you think? I'm going to take silence.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Let's
hey.
Do it. Let's do it.
Let's roll. All right. So how we like to run things here on the Psychic Funhouse with our lovely listeners when we take a call is we really appreciate you giving us your name and where you're calling from. It can be city, state, something geographical. And if you can speak up clearly, that's really helpful. That way all of our ancient ears can understand you the first time. So here we go. All right, we're going to go to area code 919. Hi there, you're on the Psychic Funhouse with Gretchen, Lawrence, and Michael. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi. Hi, Lawrence. Hi, Michael. Hi, Gretchen. Thank you for taking my call. Hi.
Sure.
This is Sveta. I've called before, and I love this show. I love listening to you guys. It's so informative.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Tell me your name one more time. I might hear it well before, but your voice is not.
Sure. It's Sweta from North Carolina.
Sweta? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, from North Carolina. Okay, yeah. What can we do for you tonight? Do you have a relationship to or something related or something to share? I'm so glad you
I
like
feel
our show.
Like, yeah, I do. I like Michael's Sunday show, too. I'm so pleased with it.
Thank you.
My question – you're welcome. Okay, so my question is that I feel like I'm on a merry-go-round as far as career, personal, everything, and I'm not sure what I need to do to get off it, basically. I don't know. So I wanted to know what spirit wants me to know.
Can I ask a couple questions here? So you said it was with your career?
It's pretty much, I've just been writing while I was listening to you guys, and it's pretty much everything. I feel these past couple of decades have just been stagnant. Personal development is really high on my list, and I feel like I'm doing all the work, and the results for what I want are not manifesting, and it makes me question, you know, what Gretchen was talking about as well, as far as ancestry communication, whether there's something I am not addressing that I need to address, or something that's just, what am I doing to create that blockage? And I also love how direct you are with your clients. That's genuine.
I don't know if that's good or bad, but okay.
No, it's good. I appreciate raw honesty because I was born with that too. So I don't know if it gets me. Probably that's why I'm in my merry-go-round, but, you know, it's the cards.
Yeah.
I need a moment, so go ahead if you want to jump in, guys.
Okay, Michael. Yeah. you said you've felt like you've had these blockages for a couple of decades. That seems like a really long time. I'm wondering if part of what might be helpful is to kind of reframe what you've been experiencing over the two decades. Because I bet if we actually took a look at in greater detail at your life's events over that time frame, we'd actually find some places where you liberated from those blockages, I'm almost certain. So they may not have been the ones that you feel are significant. They may be the ones that, came easier to you, so therefore they didn't feel like the same kind of blockages. Mm-hmm. But I'm bringing that up because it's important to kind of bridge the successes you have into the future that you want to create for yourself, right? So you have a sense of how to manifest that already because you've done it in your life. Does any of that make sense to you, what I'm saying?
Yes. I think that the focus is out of focus, if that makes sense.
Well, tell me more what you mean by that. What's out of focus? Your plan isn't focused you're not grounded or?
I guess it's more comparison of manifesting. Like I can see what you're saying that yes, the successes were there. It's more like, why is that not enough?
Can I ask you something about your family relationship? Mm-hmm. Do you have a good relationship with your family? Or are you kind of black sheep? Or what's your role in family? Would you say are you a caretaker? Or?
I'm more caretaker and black sheep as well. So I guess I don't go with the norm of the flow of standards or polls, or I guess posts, that's what I meant, posts. So it kind of creates more of a lacking or a void, internal void. It wasn't there before. It is there now. And the interesting part is that it's more prevalent since I worked with a shaman 2 years ago. So that's where I'm kind of trying to connect the dots.
Okay.
And fill the void.
So, okay. So is it that the void has manifested, or is it your awareness of the void? Because that's a different thing. You know what I mean by that, the distinction?
That's brilliant. So it's the awareness.
Awareness, okay. So it was there, but you weren't really paying attention to it. Now it's become a more central thing.
So the observer changes the observed.
Mm-hmm.
And once something comes up, you can't go back to how it was. You can't settle. And that can be really disconcerting. But the void is the place of pure potential. You know, anything can happen in the void. Sometimes we have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, she likes that.
I laugh because I understand that. I understand that very much. So you have to be like, I get it. I get it. Logically, I get it. Emotionally, and then like. Cellular. It's yelling, it's barking.
So do you have just call it a challenge with the expectations that your family puts on you? Sweta, is that part of what is manifesting for you as you've gotten older, or is that, am I off base with that?
It's more personal now. It's more like me. It's not them as much as it's me, where I'm more aware of it. Before it was just not as much, but now it's just me.
So let's focus on things specifically that you're wanting to have manifest in whatever way in your life. And see if we can't uncover some pathways to those. So what are the top three priorities you have that you feel stagnant about or not able to bring into your life that you would like to see happen? And give them some names for us.
Honestly, it's pretty much everything. I know that's a big plate. I think on a higher self level.
Let's narrow it. So we don't have this whole immense void, you know, that's going to overwhelm us. But let's just pick two or three things out of there that we can really, you know, get started on right now for you and with you.
I would say career and community.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to have happen in your career and community, Sweta, that's different from what's going on now?
Career would be doing something that I enjoy, like that I'm passionate about, that my soul speaks louder and louder every time I wake up in the morning, that there's a connection to a higher purpose. Community, I would say, you know, people I find a soul connection with, a sacred connection, and a soul agreement. You know, I know with the soul agreements, it could be positive or negative. It is what it is. I wouldn't say positive or negative, but it is what it is, right? It's the agreements that have been made. Just something where it feels balanced So I would say the theme would be balanced. yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then is it similar
probably
for community?
Friday
like,
night,
like,
I'm sure.
Well, you know.
Yes.
Okay, we're good. Three of us here, so you got a team. We tag team when we get worn out. And I was going to say, Michael, if you want. But
what?
You can jump in any time, Sir Michael, if you feel.
Oh,
have you had enough time?
I assumed you and the dog would walk.
I needed a couple of seconds here to kind of really dive deep into this one. So, Sweta, this is Michael Espinoza, psychic to the stars. And
I'm sorry.
Sorry, I have to play that in my just that. Otherwise, you get stuck by the end. Go ahead, Michael.
So, Sweta, one of the things I want to say, one of the things that they kept showing me as you were talking is it feels like fear is getting in the way of what you want to do. And it feels like you're approaching what you want to do, but how do I explain this? In a very gingerly way, and you're not really going head on and diving in to this thing. Do you understand mm-hmm. that?
Yes. I will say the fear is from past experiences. Logically, I get it. Logically, intellectually, I understand the fear.
Mm-hmm.
Confronting it with like a bulldozer. Yes, I want to do that. I don't mind doing that. I want to get past that. I want to get it. I want to grab the bull by its horns and just go ahead full force, full throttle. Okay. Yeah.
And that's their suggestion. It's kind of, they're saying like you're trying to do it, but in a much more cautious way and to mm-hmm. protect yourself. And they understand that. But what's happening, it's kind of like you're holding the energy back in a way. And then the fear gets in the way. And it, the way I feel it, it's almost kind of like a barrier between you and that thing that you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Spot on.
So they're saying, like, you have to find a way through the fear, right, to acknowledge it and to work with it and move right through it and say, this is what I want, and I got to, and I'm going to have it. And keep, you know, focusing on it and seeing the outcome that you want and kind of bulldoze through the fear at times. It's tough, yeah. But that's
okay.
What they kept showing me. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Michael,
anybody else?
Something? Yeah, that was good. While Michael was talking with what I was wanting to propose to you was, I don't think this is your case at all, but sometimes we see people and they kind of just want to receive something from the universe, like an Amazon delivery package. They're just going to show up and they open it up and they're like, oh, great. You know, they fly to the never land or whatever.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I know. Well, sometimes that happens, but usually it happens.
Right.
So what I'm suggesting is for you, and I'm, again, not saying you're that way at all, but, you know, I'm listening to your language and the way you're speaking, you're talking about intellectual things and metal, and that sounds like a place of resource for you. So I want to harness that to help you, like Michael was suggesting, with the fear. And I think what might help is for you to do what I'm going to call a risk assessment. So the universe, mm-hmm. you know, to partner with the universe, there's kind of a quid pro quo, right? The universe is going to give you something. What are you going to give the universe in return? So So with these areas of your life that you don't feel are in balance, what are you willing to risk to bring that balance into your life and to manifest? What are you willing, you know, you don't have to think of it as something to gamble or to give up necessarily, although that might be some of the terminology you use, but what are you willing to put on the line to demonstrate your commitment to make these things happen? And you can write them out however it works for you. It can be, you know, in whatever form it feels good, you can draw it out. Whatever comes up for you when you really embody, try to think about, okay, what's it going to be like if my life is filled with this kind of community that I want? How do I feel when that's going to happen? Because part of what happens, and Michael's really good about this with clients too, is you have to have this envisioning process. If you can't envision it, then it's not real.
It's not going to happen.
And your imagination, if you've got this really great intellect, you've got to partner with that and use that as a force for creating things instead of a force like Michael's implying that's been at odds with you and maybe even blocking you, right? Does any of that make sense? Does that sound doable? Like you could do something creative like that that would get it out of your head and into something you can see and then start, you know, taking baby steps until you're ready to jump off that cliff that Michael was saying, you know, just soar with your wings. What do you think?
Yeah, that created a level of ease where it's, like you said, baby steps. And the intellect part, I like how you said use that to work and create rather than the opposite, where it's a hindrance. Yes, thank you. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things I do, and I've just been in the process that takes on to what Lawrence is saying. If I'm getting pushed out of my comfort zone, I will start by, you know, maybe I make a vision board. And then if I'm looking for a home, you know, for me, like you're saying, a home is more than just a house. A home is about the community that I'm living with or around and where my family is. And so I really start playing with that as if it's already here. But a vision board for me, have you ever done a vision board?
I have one,
you know,
actually.
Okay.
Yes, I do. It has sequins and it's turquoise. So I have one.
And so any and all, but you might want to revisit it and say, is that part of the vision still, or do you want the vision to expand? The more succinct you get about what you want, the more the universe knows what to bring you. I mean, it's reciprocity here, you know? And then if you visit it, you might light a candle every day and just sit and you know, repeat. Like I have something that's written out, and I read it every day out loud. And then I just imagine it. And with day, it replaces the fear. I think that's it. Because you can always come up with a thousand reasons why it won't work. And that's where, like Michael's talking about, the fear jumps back in. But that won't ever, you know, fear takes over everything. So the counterpoint to that is doing some kind of writing or visioning and really just make a ritual out of a daily ritual. And I think Lawrence talked about this in the beginning. It's like it can't, if it's too broad, you don't know where to focus. But say community in your work. Okay, work, what do you want to do? What do you want to draw to you? What would feel good? What would be wonderful? What would you be passionate about? And every time you hear yourself say, but that's too hard or that's not possible, just smack yourself once. And then, and then go, what is you? You know, because our minds, they can play either way. So that would be what I'd encourage. And I think it fits what Lawrence was saying and Michael.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to, you know, the antidote. Yeah, we'll leave you with this, but the antidote for stagnancy is action. You know, it's movement. Anytime you feel like, you know, and it's okay to be still. It's okay even to be stagnant. It's not like it's a horrible thing, but when it's not serving you, that's when you need to wake up and go, okay, how do I get out of this? Do I need to ask for help? Mm-hmm. Do I need to receive something? What needs to change? And, you know, again, you know, talking about my co-host, Michael's really good about bringing mm-hmm. that up when people mention that. It's like the key word to say, oh, stagnancy, action. You got to mm-hmm. move. You got to do something. You got to make a decision. Because when you're paralyzed, you're not making choices, and you're passing up opportunities to make choices and decisions. And they're still getting made by someone else, and they're affecting you. You're giving up your power. Mm-hmm. So you got to take your power back. And all these tools that we're talking about sharing with you are ways for you to take your power back in these, you know, situations where you might feel helpless. But, you know, when you start drawing that in and taking responsibility, and you got to hold yourself accountable, then the gratitude for your situation is going to show up. And the next thing you know, you're going to have some success under your belt again, and you're going to feel confidence, and you're going to feel like, oh, I can really do this. You know, they don't have to bite off more than I can chew, just enough so that I can get a taste of what it's like, and then build on that from there. Pretty soon you'll have a whole structure you can look at and feel proud of because you did it.
Wow. Thank you. That's just beautiful. I really, really needed that.
Good.
I have one more thing here.
One of
the things I was getting as Gretchen and Lawrence were talking to you was the things your guides were, the thing they were telling me and showing me is, do you feel, how do I explain it? Like you are going to accomplish something really great.
As far as in my life or currently?
Yeah. No, in your life. And it feels like it's connected to your career, like the thing that you want to do.
I've always felt that way. I have, like, it was a deep well that's been there. Mm-hmm. And recently it's just been disconnected. It's been disconnected.
Okay. They want you to know part of the fear is that you are you're afraid of accomplishing that great thing. They were telling me and showing me, like, you have something great to do and accomplish, and it feels big to me. And it's kind of like you're afraid of doing that thing, and it's kind of like, okay, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm ready for that, if I have the skills to do that. Whatever the brain is telling you, right, the fears, that is what's getting in the way. But you have something big to accomplish, and they want you to know that, get busy. You got work to do. don't rest here. This is not a time to rest, but it's more a time for action and really confront the fears and get this thing done. Do you write scripts? Because I keep seeing, like, movies with you and scripts.
I have vivid dreams. I have extremely, extremely vivid dreams. It's very almost ethereal, almost. It feels 100% real. Writing-wise, I do dip into it a bit. But visually, yes, there's something within my dreams that keep on just, sometimes I wake up in the middle of the dream and I experience, like, it's a lucid dream almost. That would be the script of my life or past life.
So you don't write movies then?
No. I should, maybe.
I don't know. That's something you're going to have to ask yourself and explore yourself. You know, we can say yes or no, right? We can give you an answer. But if it's not connecting to you and it doesn't feel organic, then it's not going to happen. Right?
I
so
see.
That is something you have
right.
to uncover yourself. But
okay.
They're saying, like, you need to start connecting back to that feeling of the thing that you have to accomplish, this great thing. And it's there. It hasn't gone away. It hasn't, you know, been dismantled or turned off. It's there. Start connecting to that. And ask the guides, how do I get there? Show me the roadmap.
Okay. Oh, thank
okay.
you. Thank you, Michael. Thank you. Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Lawrence. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Gretchen. This is the best Friday I've ever had in my entire life. So thank you. I appreciate it so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Well, guess what?
Thank you.
You're the best one, too. You make it happen. So you will. You will.
Yes. And come back and let us know.
I shall.
Yeah,
I shall.
Absolutely.
I, you know, I'm not sure if I can take that title about the stars, but you know, I'll try. I'll do my best.
Okay.
All, we can do.
All right. Love and light.
Universe.
Nice to talk to you again, Shweta. Bye bye.
Yes. Bye.
All right. You take care. Have a good weekend. Yeah. Yeah. Lot to talk about with that caller. You know. You know, if she's still listening, I think it'd be really good for her to partner with people too, take a class, something where people are just
mm-hmm.
naturally geared up to really get energy and support and really also help her hold herself accountable and get jump started, right? Because that's
mm-hmm.
the hardest part often is the beginning, you know, getting out of that stagnancy and the fear and denial sometimes, you know, of your gifts, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And she's somebody who's more afraid of being successful. And she has a failing, and that can be a really weird thing to encounter,
mm-hmm.
but it's actually really common, especially among people who are creative. And I was saying one last thing before we go to another caller, you guys can chime in too. If she's that powerful of a dreamer that she's having lucid dreams, holy smokes, that resource is just waiting to be tapped. You can put anything into, talk about a void that you can put anything into.
Yeah.
If she went to bed every night with a command that she's going to manifest her success in the dream state,
wow,
it would just be like, you know, electric.
That's amazing. What a great idea.
Yeah. Because she's got, oh my gosh, she's got so much energy. People have tried to get where she's at for years and still aren't there. She's right there right now. So
good luck, Shweta.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. All right. Well, should we take another caller? What do you think, people? Are we ready to get another person on stage here and see what they have to share?
Yes.
You ready, Michael? Yeah?
Yep.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's
All right.
do it.
All right, let's do it. So this is area code 856 that we're taking now. Hi there. You're on with Gretchen, Michael, and Lawrence on the Psychic Funhouse. What's your name and where are you calling from, please?
Hi, it's Rosemaria from New Jersey. How are you guys doing? It's been a while.
It has been a while. How's New Jersey treating you, Rosemaria?
So far, so good. A little craziness the last couple of weeks, but got through it today.
Okay. All right. What's new with you in relationships? What can we help you with about that or anything else that's related?
Right now, I did some changes to my phone and I didn't have it for a couple weeks and I got it straightened out and I got it back today. So he doesn't
mm-hmm.
have the new information. So I know he's looking for me, so nothing new or anybody new in my life, so. That makes sense. I did an Italian dating site on Facebook thing. Nothing out of it. If that makes sense.
Say that again one more time. What were you saying?
Like a single dating thing group. Like my nationality, and nothing came out of that. So I have no relationship.
Oh.
I was wondering what's coming up. Or
yeah, you tried to start a Facebook group based on your heritage, your Italian heritage, but it didn't turn into something you wanted? Is that what you said? Is that
right? Yeah, it's like a single club thing or whatever you want to call it on Facebook, on social media.
Oh, okay. And it didn't work. And it didn't work out. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Nobody in my area. You got to go like about an hour and a half away or stuff like that. So.
Interesting. And so, if you don't mind my asking, since you shared that with us, what you may have told us this already, but what flavor Italian are you? From Naples, or are you Sicilian, or Northern
South
Italian,
Italy.
Southern?
Southern.
Just Italy, in general.
Greece. Cross from Greece.
Cross from
Greece.
Oh, Porgia?
Oh,
okay. All right. Okay. Very good.
And across from Sicily, so half and half.
Okay, well, you got the best of both then, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So are you want, like, soulmate potential, or do you want a companion, or what's your level of need at in terms of a partner or a lover, however you want to describe it at this time, would you say?
Long-term marriage, family. How about that point at this point? And he knows
too. Yeah. Uh-huh. And this is the person you've talked about with us before, or this is the person who's coming into your future, somebody else?
I think both.
Both.
I think he's get rid of the old, come in with a new him, if that makes sense. And I have that sensation for the last week or so that he's been around me and he's been on my mind for some reason the last couple weeks, stronger this week than the week before. So I try to communicate to see if everything is okay, but I couldn't get through or get through to somebody that's in associated with us, if that makes sense.
Was your communication more on the spirit plane, or was it more direct, like, you know, with technology?
More spiritual, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. Yeah, okay. That can be to get affirmation.
I'm pretty sure it's more spiritual than anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you ever receive anything from him?
Like in what sense?
Well, you were talking about you're sending out vibes or spiritual communication to him, right? I was wondering if you ever receive anything from him in the same way of reciprocity. Like, is he trying to do the same to you, or is he like not?
I think so, yeah, because I know he's been, somebody told me he's been trying to get a hold of me and trying to find me, and technology, I can't find him through anything because he doesn't have anything like that, like social media or anything like that. So I guess spiritual media. I'll send him like messages, healing and stuff like that, and letting him know I'm around in a spiritual way.
Uh-huh.
That makes sense.
Uh-huh.
I think he's in the same way.
So when you have a vision of this person, what, you know, when you're doing your communication, what do you hold in your mind's eye or in your heart when you're attempting to reach out to them? Can you describe that for us?
Letting them know I'm there. Letting them know I'm present in his room or around his work.
Oh, really? Like, you're physically there next to him, like, observing what his day what he's doing during his day.
Right, and I can't get, like, the affirmation, if that makes sense. I can't, it doesn't go through right with me for some reason, if that makes sense. I don't know. Sometimes I feel going on. I have no idea.
Well, if you had to come up with an idea, just spitballing, what would it be?
I guess there's, like, a try to understand or a blockage why I'm not getting the right messages, what the situation is, what the feeling is. That makes sense.
Yeah. All of it's making sense. You know, what I'm getting about, you know, your situation is, you know, I think there's a key component that's missing, right, in the way that you're going about trying to find a solution to, let's just call it the problem that you have or the issue or whatever. And I think part of it is, you know, it's kind of an interesting dance that you do between what your aspirations are, what your hopes are for a relationship, and then what your expectations are. And I don't know that they're in alignment. And what I'm getting from my guides in terms of that is either your expectations are too high for what you want, or they're not high enough, or your aspirations are not really practical. You know what I mean by that? Like doable. Like if we sat down together, let's say, and you listed all of them, and I looked at your aspirations, I would look at them and go, well, some of these I think are possible, but the rest of them seem more like fantasy, and I don't know how that's going to work for you in a real way. Does that make sense, what I'm saying, the feedback, Rosemaria?
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
So which of those do you think it is? Do you need to recalibrate, you know, your aspiration side, you know, the goals and dreams you want, or do you need to recalibrate your expectations for what you want in a person and in a relationship, would you say? Or is it both?
I think it's both. My expectations from him and my goals to meet that at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. You know, and I think we touched on this before, too.
And you mean by expectations, you said expectations like love and stuff like that, right? That's what you mean by that?
Well, maybe an expectation, an example of expectation would be, you know, I have an expectation that this person's going to be, you know, tall, dark, handsome, and look like, I don't know, who's a current figure that I can think of. You know, all that comes to mind is classic people. Cary Grant, you know, or somebody, you know, look like amazing, right? Now, I have those expectations, too, that the person that I'm going to be with next is going to be, you know, drop-dead gorgeous. And maybe that'll happen. But then again, maybe they won't have, you know, every quality that I want. So, you know, kind of what I'm getting at is, it's okay to have these. It's even okay to want them and to try to manifest them. But I think, you know, part of what we're coming to as the missing component is you got to let some of this stuff go, right? So you put it out there and you have to let the universe play around with it and bring it back to you in whatever form it's going to. Because otherwise, you know, if you're doing as much as it sounds like you're doing and you're not getting results back, then maybe it's time to back off and just let things lie for a little bit. And come up with a different approach or even just give it a rest and put your energy into something where you can feel like you're making progress, right? Does any of that make sense? I just don't want you to get frustrated to the point where you're feeling, you know? You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what a different approach is. So, yeah, I let it go. I haven't communicated with him. When I tried to call the number, I blocked the house number, so he kind of sensed it was kind of me. But we had that vibration that way for some reason. So I won't communicate with him until next week anyway with my phone.
Well, you know, I guess I'm wondering if he was in your place right now, what would he be saying about your attempts to have a relationship with him, with us? Would he be really open to it, or would he be like, okay, this person is obsessed with me and I need to, like, get her to, you know, calm down somewhere? Would he want to have a relationship with you? Or is he in a relationship already? Or, you know, how would he respond, you know, with the same resources at his disposal that you've got here with me and Michael and Gretchen? What would he say about this whole situation? I'm curious. What do you think?
I have no idea. I doubt it very muchly. background of his, the situation that he's in, background business. So I know he acts one way behind us, behind me, and acts differently in front of me. I know he wants me and cares about me and in love with me because I get that message from him. And then in front of me, he doesn't want nothing to do with me.
Is that because of family pressures, or what's the cause of his different behavior, his two-facedness?
I'm not sure why he's doing it. I guess not to have other people involved, but he does put people involved, and I don't want that,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody mm-hmm. should be involved mm-hmm. but us.
I see. It's a private thing.
You're right, on my end.
Yeah.
I don't mind him being proud of me and stuff, but people should mind their own business, if that makes sense.
Got it.
Causing problems are the problems.
Yeah, I get it. Well, you know, maybe it's time to take the absence makes the heart grow fonder approach and just, you know, cool things down a little bit and let him come to you and see what that feels like. Because, you know, if you're always the one who's the approacher, you know, you're always the one who's doing the chasing, it can feel pretty good not to do that for a while and see if they'll chase you back and just, you know, see how long you can hold out and see what that does. If it sweetens things up eventually, if he comes around and is like, oh, I kind of miss you. Well, maybe I'll do that, you know, or whatever. I don't know. It's just an idea. What do you think?
Yeah, if he has my new information. If that makes sense.
I know.
Am I supposed to send him my Am I supposed to send him my new information this week?
I would say let it go and see what happens. And just, you know, don't anymore at all. And just see how you feel after, you know, some time has passed. You'll know when to send him the new stuff. But I wouldn't do it right away. That's what my guides are. Okay?
Got
and then you can let us know
what
happened. Because we're all spent. See if you can hold out. All right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty much like almost a month with that new information, so cool. Appreciate it.
Okay.
How long should I wait?
Yeah, you bet.
How long should I wait?
Okay. How long? As long as you can hold out, and then it's like holding your breath when you dive underwater. You can do it for another second and another second, and those are your days. So as many days as you can hold your breath underwater, that's how many. How about that for a formula?
Okay.
See what happens.
Okay. Cool.
All right. Let us know, okay?
Thanks.
All right, thanks for calling. We'll talk to you later. Bye, Rosemaria. Well, let's see, what do you think? We're getting close to the end. Do we have, like, lightning round time for one more caller, or what do you think? Real quickie?
Sure.
Michael,
yeah,
are you in?
We have a few more minutes.
Right.
Let's do it.
Okay, all right. We just had somebody call in at the top of the queue. I think this is a new call. This is area code 856. Did we talk to you already?
Yep, it's me.
Yes. Oh, it is. Okay, sorry. I went to the wrong phone. Sorry, Rosemaria. Maybe this is the number I want. Yeah, let's try this. 916, is this a new call? We talked to you yet on the Psychic Funhouse caller?
Nope, haven't talked to you yet.
Okay, what's your name? Where are you calling from? And real quick, what can we help you with tonight? We're going to just zap you with our amazing read for us.
Yeah, my name's Ray. I'm from California, and I just really want to know what you see with my job prospect and a job that it's really grinding my gears, and what do you see the next few months, if at anything, or if you see me going anywhere?
Well, you know, what my guides are, I'm going to jump in first, and then, you know, the rest of you, if you want, you can chime in anytime. Yeah, grinding your gears, good way of describing it. I think there's a level of frustration with this job that you can't seem to discharge. I think you've tried everything to make it work, and you're at the end of your rope. And the problem is you're financially on the hook. I think there's some obligations you have that you haven't really been able to meet yet. So you need this job. So that's also what raises it to the level of, you know, being unendurable. But, you know, you've done some homework to get out. I think you need to trust that those plans you made are going to manifest when they need to for you, not by you forcing them to. So I would say you're going to be at the same position for at least 2 to 3 months at the most. You know, maybe things will turn around a little quicker, and you'll find a, you know, that position that's much more agreeable with who you are and what you want to do. It's a step in the right direction. It's not going to be your dream job. It'll be way better than this. So if you can last that long, I think things would work out. But that would be my suggestion. Hang in there for another 2 or 3 months. That's what I'm getting. How about you, Michael? You have anything for, and was it Ray? Is that your name? I'm sorry.
Yep.
Is that Ray?
Ray, yeah.
California. Okay.
Yeah. Hi, Ray.
Can come to you, Michael?
Hi, Ray. It's
Hello.
Michael.
Hi.
The thing I'm getting for you is it feels like you need to focus more on what you're looking for and not it. In terms of, right, the next job that you want, but also really focus on, I guess, maybe the job as a whole, like, right, your boss, the workload, the pay, where you want it to be, the location. It feels kind of like the energy that they show me, right, like I'm not feeling good in this position where you're currently at. And I'll just take anything to get out of here. Do you understand that?
Uh-huh.
And they're saying, don't do that. Really focus on what you want so that when you leave this place, you get the job that you want and that you don't go out of, you know, what do they call it, out of the fire, frying pan into the mm-hmm. fire.
So do you see that happening in the next couple of months?
Yeah. Yeah, but really focus in on what you want. Really meditate on it and really see it happening and feeling it, okay?
All right.
Okay, and good luck. Let us know how it's going.
Thanks. Cool, thank you guys for the call.
Yeah, you bet.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you bet.
Thank you, Ray, for calling. Bye-bye.
Good luck with everything. All right. Well, looks like, you know, we've reached that time. I know it's hard to even imagine, but here we are at the end of another show.
Already?
So, I know. Isn't it sad? We just started like 3 seconds ago.
I know.
But here we are. So I just, you know, I want to thank our lovely listeners and callers for coming in and bearing their souls for us here live. That we get to feast on them like the vultures that we are. No, that we get we get to help and be of service because that's why we do this. Because we just like talking to people and coming up with solutions. We're problem solving spirit realm. And speaking of which, I want to thank the spirits for all the help that they give. Mm-hmm. So
yes,
generously, you know, without even. You know, they make it look effortless, like the psychic to the star this process look effortless. And, of course, I want to thank our lovely guest tonight, Miss Gretchen.
Yes,
wonderful.
Gretchen, thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
Be with you guys.
Yeah, we love having you on. We hope you'll come back all the time. Great. Especially fun sitting next to you. I hope you get to do that. And my lovely co-host, Mr. Michael J. Espinoza, psychic to the stars. Another wonderful evening.
So, I have to go look at your website.
Yeah, oh, it's so full of testimony. A-listers, you won't know what to do with yourself.
It's like going to a red carpet premiere.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The videos alone are worth the price.
Yeah,
yeah. And they're all anonymous.
And I want to thank my lovely co-host.
Oh, thank you.
Laurence Birch. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Yeah. Yeah, I got to show up and everything. Amazing. Next week, we'll let you know what that's going to turn out to be. We do have some exciting and exotic guests coming in for next month. So be sure. Somebody got a hold of the organist and squeezed his head. Anyway, the ghost in the machine every once in a while. Anyway, follow us on all the platforms. Blog Talk is obviously the host, but we also go out to Spotify if you haven't, removed yourself from them because of the controversy. We're not going to get into that. Apple, Amazon, all of the regular platforms carry us now, so you can never miss an episode and take us with you. We have 2 years worth of archived wonderful material, and we'd love to stay in touch with you, so drop us a line. Let us know if you have any suggestions for shows or questions about stuff if you didn't get a chance to be on the air with us. You can always call next Friday. And, Michael, do you have a Sunday show coming up this weekend? Yes, maybe?
No, I don't. No.
Don't?
It's the Super Bowl. It's the Super Bowl. Yeah, I have to prepare my outfit to watch the Super Bowl.
Are you gonna do that little LeMay number that you had last year, the gold LeMay? Or are you gonna do you're gonna do LeMay colors, aren't you? Yep. Right.
Maybe I just might.
All right. Well, you're the fashion mogul.
What are you
gonna
do at the Super Bowl?
Well, I was gonna be part of the crew during the halftime show, but they looked at my union card and I haven't paid my dues, so I'm kind of SOL on that one. Unfortunately.
Well. Maybe you can pay him online, catch up instantly and be able to attend.
Yeah, I'm gonna unfire my agent and see if he can do that for me. That's a good idea, Michael. You got so many good ideas. I just don't know where to put them all. So thank you for that.
Right? You're welcome.
All right. Psychic to the stars, and the Kaftan man. All right. So speaking of which, since we're talking about how wonderful Michael is, how do people get in touch with you, sir, after the show is over for readings and healings?
Go to my website, MichaelJEspinoza.com. How about you, Gretchen? How can people get a hold of you?
AncestralWisdom.com.
There you go. And you can get in touch with me by calling 541-344-7534. You can go to my website, givingtreefarm.com. You can look at my Facebook page. That's Giving Tree Farm. And you can also go to my Instagram account and look at my art, Lawrence A. Birch on Instagram. All that stuff and more will be yours if the price is right. All right. So thanks for everybody being here. And I hope everyone listening has a lovely, lovely weekend
happy Valentine's.
Yeah, and you have some
and
real
happy
love.
Super Bowl.
Happy Super Bowl. I hope your team wins, whichever one it is.
Yeah,
that's my prediction.
Yes.
Take us out, Mr. Psychic to the Stars. You're the man.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to our show again. Like Mr. Birch says, please follow us. Here at blogtalkradio.com. Also follow us on Amazon, Apple, Spotify, or Google platforms. And thank you for everything. We appreciate you listening to our show. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night, everyone.